All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, end of minicamp edition. And as I sit here recording this edition of the show here on Thursday, June 18th, you may be listening to it over the weekend or next week or whatever, but right now, exactly 42 days, 6 weeks from today, training camp will open, and that will be the next act of Buccaneer football on the field, at least, because Todd Bowles canceled today's minicamp. The last day was supposed to be today. It's a three-day minicamp, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Bucs didn't feel the need to do the last day. Not atypical. A lot of teams do that. In fact, some teams didn't do any minicamp this week. But the Bucs said Tuesday and Wednesday were enough, and that was that. So now they're off the field, and we are getting ready for camp. Like I said, we got a little while to go. 6 weeks is plenty of time, but it's faster than you think. And now is the time, kind of like hurricane season, now is the time to start making your preparations, making sure you have all the things you need, getting done the things you need to get done, whatever family vacations and all that, and then we can go full bore. But we got a lot to talk about today on the show. I know I've taken a few weeks since the last show, and now that we've got something going on this week, we're going to get it going here. So first of all, thank you for joining us. Thanks to the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com. I always appreciate the opportunity to get out in front of all of you on the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Buccaneer coverage, and that's JoeBucksFan.com, which leads the way. And I'm not just saying leads the way. It literally does lead the way if you look at all the website numbers and the hits and all that stuff. And with good reason, because there's always something going on over there. And I'm just glad my show is part of what's going on Joe Bucks Fan. So the Bucks finished up their camp, as they always call it, underwear football this week. Just helmets, not even shoulder pads, helmets, jerseys, shorts, and all that stuff. And everybody, quote unquote, looks good. This guy did that. This guy did this. It's fine. I don't put a lot of stock into it. But the main thing going on right now, it's more of an off-the-field thing than on-the-field thing, and we'll get to some of the things that happen at camp. The main thing going on right now, of course, is the Baker Mayfield contract situation. You've heard all about this, and now they got Vita Vea, too, which we'll get to in a little bit. But as far as Baker Mayfield goes, as you probably know, entering the final year of his contract that he signed back to start the 2024 season, which was 3 years for $100 million. For you non-math majors out there, that's $33.3 million a year. That was after this first year in Tampa Bay, which was 2023. He played on that prove-it deal for $8 million. Bucks got great production, re-upped, and now we're coming to the end of that deal. Bake is going to play this year under the final year of that contract no matter what happens, but of course, you don't want to just play under the final year of a contract. You want things extended or redone or all. You want the security. And so Mayfield and his agent Tom Mills have said they want a new deal before training camp starts. They don't want this to be a distraction. They don't want this ongoing. They want a new deal before training camp starts. And if there is not a new deal by the time training camp starts, they're going to shut down all negotiations, and then he'll become a free agent, and they can worry about this after the season, which is something that I would say as well if I were Baker Mayfield, and especially Baker Mayfield's agent. For the Bucks part, they want Baker Mayfield back, and so they have to decide, basically, the decision a lot of teams get faced with. And we're going to break down everything Baker Mayfield's done for the Bucks today. We're going to break down all the things we think he can still do for the Bucks, what the options could be for other people, all that stuff. The Bucks and any team facing the situation usually has to decide, okay, do we want to overpay? Because you have to overpay. You can't ever get it for the price you think it should be. That's just perfect in your head. Oh, he's worth this, and we'll give him this right now. Well, yeah, of course, that's what you want to do, and they're going to want more, and you got to meet in the middle somewhere. So you can overpay for what has been a pretty good quarterback for the Bucks. And let me say something first of all right now. I'm trying to be as dispassionate as possible and look at this from both sides, because both sides, in this case, are parties of interest for us. As a Bucks fan, I like both the Bucks and Baker Mayfield. So it's not like our side versus their side. I see both sides. But I'm trying to be as dispassionate about this as I can. Emotionally, I love Baker Mayfield. Everybody loves Baker Mayfield, and with good reason. He's a great guy, great character, a great person in the community, all that stuff. His leadership, all the things like that. I mean, there's no reason not to like Baker Mayfield. And that's just off the field. I like him as a quarterback, too. He's a solid, or has been a solid, better than average. And at times he's been even better than that. At times he's been a top-tier NFL quarterback. But overall, the full body of work in Tampa, at least, he's been above average, maybe top third, which would be like, you know, number 11 or better or maybe in that 10 to 15 range. And like I said, at times he's been a top five guy, but only at times. And there's been other times, especially, I don't use the word pressure because I don't think it's a pressure thing, but there have been times when he hasn't come through, and it hasn't just been him, but he's the quarterback, in the bigger moments, and hasn't quite like won the big one, if you will, is maybe the way I'm looking to phrase this. So the Bucks have to weigh all. Anytime you're making a decision like this, at first we'll look at it from the Bucks standpoint. So now I'm talking from the Bucks perspective. Anytime you're looking at a decision like this, you have to weigh. First of all, if you don't do it, if you say, I'm going to dig in, I'm only going to pay what I think it's worth, and I'm prepared to walk, baby. Okay, fine. What are your other options? So that to me is that's the leverage Baker Mayfield has, because the Bucks, you know, right now they don't have a viable backup on their team that is a potential starter. The backup quarterback on this team is a backup quarterback, and that's fine. So then you say, okay, well, he'll play out 2026. What will we do in 2027 if we didn't get this done? Well, not a lot of options, honestly. The free agents that are eligible in 2027 are supposed to be. Guys could always sign new contracts before then. But as of right now, you're looking at like Kyler Murray, for example, who's in Minnesota, who, if he does really well, would probably just sign another deal with them. But even if he didn't, you know, he'd be out there available. You could have him, Tua, Mac Jones, Davis Mills. These are the names, and I'm not ragging on these guys at all. I'm just saying these are the names, you know. So it's not a ton in free agency. Of course, there's always the draft. You could start over with a rookie quarterback. The 2027 draft looks pretty good. Obviously, you've got Arch and you've got Dante Moore, the two top guys going into this college season. If that remains the case by the end of the college season, we'll see, but probably. And those wouldn't be guys the Bucks would most likely be drafting. I wouldn't like to think they'd be drafting that high in the 2027 draft. But then there's a bunch of other ones beyond that. There's Trinidad Chambliss. There's Mensah, the guy from NC State. I think it's CJ Bailey, if I'm not mistaken. There's some guys. So you could always say, okay, we're going to do that. Those are your options. And it's not, again, that's leverage I would put in Baker Mayfield's side of the net. And then you've got the other side for the Bucs. Okay, let's just get this done. We're done pretty well with Mayfield. Of course, we got the new offensive coordinator right now, Zach Robinson. Things could look a lot different than they did under Josh Grizzard. And let's just go ahead and make the payment and get it done. Now, here's the leverage the Bucs have. What is Baker Mayfield going to do? You know, and I don't mean he doesn't have other teams that would want him. He's good, but I'm saying he's been with a million teams already. He's found a home here. He talks about how much he loves the Tampa Bay area. It gets along well with the coaching staff. Loves his teammates, all that stuff. Is it really worth turning down the probable offer the Bucks would give him? Which, I mean, I'm just making up numbers here. And then Joe talked about this on Joe Bucks Fan. You know, let's say, just hypothetically, this ballpark, the Bucks are willing to do 3 years, $150 million. That's $50 million a season. That's $100 million. Let's say $100 million guaranteed, something like that. You know, wouldn't it just be really easy just to take that? I mean, how much, even if he thought he could get more, let's say he was able to get 5%, 10%, maybe 15% more if he went somewhere else. You're going to pick up everything. You just had another kid, all this stuff. You're going to pick up everything, move, change teams, new coaches, staff, new offensive coordinator, new play caller, and do all that for a few bucks. And I always say this, you know, I've never been rich before, so I don't know what it's like, I guess. But like to me, like I always say, if you gave me $10 million, right, this is just $10 million. Baker Mayfield already has, you know, literally nine digits worth of money to his name. But if you gave me $10 million right now, I'd just shut everything down. Like, to me, $10 million is more money than I would stop doing all things and just do whatever I wanted, whatever I wanted. $10 million! So if you gave me, like, $150 million, but you said, hey, Bobby, if you, like, went through all this other crap, I can give you $165 million. The way my brain's wired, and rich people's brains might be wired differently. Maybe that's why they're rich. The way my brain's wired, I wouldn't say, ooh, that's $15 million. That's a lot of money. My brain's wired, I'd say, well, I mean, $100 million, $150 million, it's all the same at that point. I don't care. That's more money for me. That's enough money for me, my kids, their kids, and their kids, and their kids after that. People who are going to be born after I'm already dead, they'll have enough money to do nothing but whatever they want for the rest of their lives. Why would I screw with stuff like that? You know, I just don't understand rich people sometimes. And I know it's not just him. You got your agent. He, you know, he gets 4%. You want a bigger contract. He wants a bigger contract. Okay, but at the end of the day, it's you. It's you're the boss. It's your life, your career. Does it make a difference? especially when you already have literally hundreds of millions of dollars, does it make a difference if you get 150 million more versus 170 million more? Like, that wouldn't even compute in my brain, especially when I'm already happy doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing it. But I'm not a rich person. Far from it. So maybe I'm just, you know, that's why I wouldn't make a good rich person, because I just wouldn't care. I'd be like, okay, that's enough. That's it. Like I said, $10 million would be like, oh my God, $10 million. I can do whatever I want. You know, I wouldn't even think beyond that, you know. So anyway, from Baker Mayfield's standpoint, that's leverage the Bucs have. Is it really worth it to go out and try and make this harder than it has to be? I think both sides want to get it done. I think they will get it done. On Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, you know, the head guy at Pro Football Talk, he said from all the people he has talked to and all the sources that he has worked, that he very strongly believes that the Bucs very strongly believe that they will get this done by training camp. And I believe it too. It just makes too much sense. Now, here's something I did want to point out, and actually a commenter, I believe it was J.A., if I want it, I want to properly identify, a commenter pointed this out on one of the articles on JoeBucksFan.com. Unlike most websites, another reason Joe Bucks Fan's so great, unlike most websites, the comment section at Joe Bucks Fan, and it's not all of them, believe me, I'm not giving you all too much credit, but there's a few people in there who are really smart, have some really good insight, if you know where to look. But anyway, pointed out an interesting stat that you always need to look at, and we've talked about it before, but not in strictly black and white XYZ percentage-based numbers. Cap percentage taken up by the quarterback on championship teams. Because you have to think about that when you're talking about, hey, we just love our guy, that's great. But if your quarterback, no matter how good he is taking up an inordinate amount of cap space, it's hard to build the rest of the team that you're going to need, both on the offensive side of the ball to give him weapons and totally on the defensive side of the ball to get to the place where you can win the championship. And so it's interesting, I looked it up, and going back to 2010, this is when the Packers won with Aaron Rodgers, going back to that year, so we're talking about like 16 years worth of data now, the percentage of the salary cap that was taken up by the quarterback of each Super Bowl champion. And this is just Super Bowl champion, so it's not every team in the league or anything like that, but this is obviously where every team wants to get to. And so, starting back in 2010 and working toward the present day, Aaron Rodgers, percentage of cap taken up by their salary. Are you ready? Listen to these, and I'll go over what Baker Mayfield's numbers would be at various numbers of his new contract. Aaron Rodgers took up 5.3% of the Packers' salary cap in 2010. Eli Manning, in 2011, 11.7%. Joe Flacco for the 2012 Ravens, 5.6%. Russell Wilson, just 0.7% for the Seahawks. Tom Brady, 11.1%. That was for the Patriots. Peyton Manning, 12.2% for the Broncos. Brady again, 8.9%. So far, nobody's cracked 12% except for Manning, barely. Nick Foles, and it was Nick Foles. Carson Wentz was the starter that year. But anyway, 4.6%. Tom Brady again, 12.4%. Then Patrick Mahomes, 2.4% the first time he won the Super Bowl for the Chiefs. Tom Brady for the Bucks now, 12.6% in 2020. Matt Stafford, 11%. Patrick Mahomes in back-to-back years, these are the outliers, 17.2% and 16.5%. Then Jalen Hurts, 5.3% 2 years ago, and last year, Sam Darnold, 4.8%. Again, percentage of cap space occupied by the starting quarterback. I'll read them again backwards, just the percentages. 4.8, 5.3, 16.5, 17.2, 11, 12.5, 2.5, 12.5, 4.5, 9, 12.2, 11.1, 0.7. But here's what I'm getting at. I'm not going to bore you with numbers anymore. Except for the two Patrick Mahomes seasons back in 23 and 22, no quarterback has taken up more than 12% of their team's salary cap and won the Super Bowl. And most of them are in the single digits. Okay? So now let's look at what Baker Mayfield currently. The salary cap this year is $301 million and change. Currently, Baker Mayfield, making $33.3 million in 2026, takes up just over 11, it's like 11.1%. So that's in the sweet spot of what's doable. Now let's talk about potential raises. If the Bucs were to pay him $40 million a year going forward, which is doubtful they'll be able to get him for that number, that would be 13.3%. $45 million, 15%. If the Bucks go to that number we just talked about, that hypothetical, you know, okay, 3 years, $150 million, that'd be $50 million a year. That would put Bake at 16.6% of the Bucks' salary cap, just him. And if you go over $50 million, say $55 million, 18.3%. So, basically, if you even sign him to the deal we all think they're going to sign him to, roughly, $50 million a year, somewhere around there, you're putting him in a spot where he would be taking up more of the Bucks' cap than almost any Super Bowl winning quarterback takes up of their team's cap in the last 15 years. The only exception would be Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not saying that's a reason not to do it. I mean, first of all, there was one example with Mahomes. And second of all, I mean, it wouldn't be exorbitantly over. It wouldn't be like he'd be doing 25% of the cap. I mean, it'd still be in line, obviously on the higher end, but it could be done. And again, does it beat the alternative or not? And that's where I think that Baker Mayfield has most of his leverage, because the Bucks don't have great alternatives. I mean, you could always do something, but it'd be a lot easier just to keep him. Basically, it's just a lot easier for both sides. It'd be way easier for the Bucks to just sign him and be done with it. And it'd be way easier for Mayfield to just sign with the Bucks and be done with it than go looking for yet another new team. So that's why I think Florio's right. And I think $50 million-ish, it could be a little less or a little more, somewhere in there. And if they do that, like I said, it'll put him around 16% of their caps, somewhere in there, give or take, which is a little higher than you'd prefer, but not the end of the world. And so it's something to look at. But I mean, here's my thing with Mayfield. I talked about all the good things I like about him. I talked a minute ago, though, I also said, you know, hasn't quite won the big one. I'm still scarred by the playoff game the season before last against the Commanders, when the Bucs defense, which was much maligned, kind of like it was this past year, got that huge fourth down stop, a goal line stand against the Commanders. And then they had the ball in their hands with the lead after the defense just absolutely stood up and dug in and clamped down. One of the biggest, I mean, the gutsiest goal line stands you'll see, and the Bucs defense did it. And what did Baker Mayfield go turn around and do like three plays later? Fumbled the freaking ball on a jet sweep. And I'm not trying to say that he's the only reason they lost that game, but I mean, I'm still scarred by that turnover. And of course, after that huge fourth down stop, goal line stand, Bucks defense had to run right back out there. Well, the Commanders did score this time. And then Bucks couldn't get down the field and score the game winner. Although, again, they had a chance, couldn't get it done. And even last year, you know, everybody's talking about last year, about the defense, the defense, the defense. And I've said this on every show I've done since the end of the season. I know I've only done like four or five shows, but I've said this on every show I've done since the end of the season. The Bucks defense down the stretch was giving up 17 points, 23 points, 20 points. The Atlanta game was the only one. Okay, yeah, they had 3rd and 28. We all know about that. But even 3rd and 28, what happened in that game? Y'all remember what happened in the 3rd and 28 game before 3rd and 28? Okay, the Bucks had the ball and had a chance to end the game with just a first down, and Bake didn't get it done. And Bake missed an open, was it Evans or Godwin? I think it was Godwin. On 3rd down, a crosser, wide open. Bake threw it a little behind him. Game over if he hits him in the hands, or even leads him a little bit. Any decent throw, Bucks are at it. They get the first down, clock runs out. Bucks offense didn't get it done. And I look down the stretch over and over last year. Again, like I said, the Bucks defense down the stretch, when the schedule got really crappy, they weren't getting lit up. They were stopping people enough. I know everybody likes to complain about it, but the offense did nothing. And in fact, since that Seattle game last year, when the Bucks looked like the reincarnate of like the 91 Redskins or whatever that team was with Mark Rippon, that was just a million, or the Jeff George Vikings or any of the great offenses in history. The Bucks looked like that for a few games last year. That Seattle game, who, by the way, you know, you all might have seen Seattle win the Super Bowl, right? And do good defense. You probably saw that. Okay. So that same team, the Bucks just shredded. And Baker Mayfield just shredded. And what happened after that? I think Baker Mayfield was playing hurt. Obviously, the offensive line, we've been through all this before. You don't need me to repeat it. All the injuries and stuff. But still, the offense had chance after chance after chance to get it done. They didn't get it done. And, I mean, the Miami game down there, they didn't whiz a drop. Didn't whiz a drop. Even the game they won, the one game they won at the end of the year last year against Arizona, offensive snoozer. The Carolina game, they should have won both of them. They did win the last one, but by then it was too late. Offensive snoozers, offensive no-shows. the pick against Carolina, at Carolina, that one, not the one in Tampa, the one at Carolina, this third to last week, when the Bucs had the ball with a chance to go win that game, pick, not under pressure. The pick against Atlanta, again, even before third and 28, even before they had the chance on the third down before that, unpressured pick. So Bake hasn't been perfect. I love him, but he hasn't been perfect. That's why I think it all adds up to just both sides saying, you know, let's keep things the way they are, assuming everybody's back healthy and everything's normal for at least 5 freaking minutes, which it feels like it never is with injuries with this team. But if we can have the offensive line intact, Bredesen, Gedeke, Cody Mauch, all that stuff, you know, that goes a long way, combined with new offensive coordinator and everything else that goes with that. So, I mean, I'm optimistic about the 2026 Bucks. I'm optimistic about the Bucks in 2027 and all that, too. You have to think about all this. I think it will all get done. As for Vita Vea, you may have seen the clips if you follow Joe on Twitter or any of the local media or if you watch the local news or whatever, doing the classic hold-in, as they call it. He was there. He was dressed. He wasn't really doing that much. He wasn't participating in the drills, was just kind of standing there. That's a hold-in. Doesn't want to do anything. Doesn't want to hold out and completely leave the team. Wants a new contract. Vita is entering the final year of his contract. He'll get about $18 million this year, roughly. And then, as of now, he's out there, free agent. Going to be 32 by the time the season ends. That one's a tougher one. Because Vita Vea, on one hand, I mean, he's a great run stopper. You know, he's obviously a heart and soul type of guy on that defense. Doesn't play as much as you'd like him to. Plays about 60% of the snaps or so. And we all know, especially a guy like him who already isn't exactly, I don't want to say he's not in tip-top shape. I just mean the way he's built. You know, guys like that. Guys that are, you know, that do what Vita Vea does. They don't tend to get tons better as they approach their mid-30s. So if you're the Bucks, if you're Jason Light, what do you do there? I mean, nobody's like, hey, screw it. I don't want to get rid of Vita Vea. But at the same time, you're going to give him north of $20 million on top of the Baker Mayfield thing? And now you are getting, you know, a couple of guys eating up a lot of your cap where it's like, yeah, you know, you got other things we got to do here. Or do you let it ride? Even Joe suggested trading him. Not saying that they should, just suggesting it could possibly be done. Like Jason Light could just say, okay, well, instead of dealing with this, let's shop him now. Let's sell high and do something before training camp or here before the season starts and make a move there. I love Vita Vea. I wouldn't hate it. And a lot of this hinges on things we just don't know yet. I mean, Todd Bowles, I don't want to say he's hanging on by a thread, but what happens in 2026? You know, it's not like a situation where you know Todd Bowles is going to be your coach in 2027 no matter what. There's actually a very fascinating season for the Bucs coming up here. I mean, we always want to win the Super Bowl. Everybody wants that always. But beyond that, just little thing, like the difference between 10-7 and 8-9, which is only 2 games, right? But that difference could change the trajectory of the Bucs franchise going forward, because at 10-7, I don't know what wins the NFC South or what doesn't or anything like that. We know how the NFC South's been the past few years. But 10-7, okay, well, hey, Todd Bowles, comeback kid, the redemption. Although he's getting old. I mean, Todd Bowles won't probably be the Bucs coach in 5 years, no matter how well they do. You know, he's getting older. But he's not that old, and he wants to coach. So if he does well this year, then he's back, you know? And if the Bucs go like 8-9 again or something, obviously, if they're terrible, we know he's gone. Everybody's gone. But if they go something mediocre again, like 8-9, what happens if they go 9-8 and they don't make the playoffs? That could happen. You know, you could lose the division on a tiebreaker or by a game, and you could not be good enough for a wild card, and you could still have a winning record and say, oh, yeah, winning record, you know. It really, the lines, the margins, they're very fine right now. And so what you do with someone like Vita Vea hinges on, well, is Todd Bowles even going to be the coach? And we don't know that. We're not going to know that for a while. You know, the Bucs have the personnel. What if they get a new coach and, oh, now we're a 4-3 team instead of a 3-4? You know, now Vita Vea, okay, so we don't need Vita Vea. I mean, not that you don't need him, but they can run a 4-3 with other guys besides Vita Vea right now. They're a 3-4 team. Vita Vea is perfect for that spot in the middle, and, you know, a lot we don't know. This one's tougher. Like, my job, I guess anybody's job when they're hosting a podcast or hosting a radio talk show or whatever it is, you want to come in there hot with takes, dig in, have an opinion, right or wrong. At least you had an opinion. I'll be honest with you. This one's tough. I don't have to do anything right now. The Mayfield one I have more of an opinion on. The Vita one, I see both sides of it. I don't envy Jason Light on this one because, you hate to just let the guy go. I wouldn't pay him like $25 million or anything either. If somebody else wants to do that, go for it. But if somebody else wants to offer us, and I know everybody always does this. They say, well, if you trade him for a first-round pick, you do it. Yeah, I know that, but they're not going to get a first-round pick. Would you take a second or a third for Vita Vea? Or whatever it ends up being. And maybe it's not even, maybe the return's not even the point. You just want to get something for him and not have to deal with all this. That's something we'll keep an eye on. So that's what we got coming up for 42 days, is stuff like that. There's not going to be any actual football, but 6 weeks is not a lot. Although with the way the Rays are playing right now, it might feel a little longer than it's probably supposed to. But no, seriously, we are on approach, folks. And so it's still the summertime. Whatever you're doing, family vacations, if you're a student, your kids, time off, all that stuff, whatever it is, let it breathe for a little bit, but we're not there yet, but we can see it. And we're going to do some more shows and do some more things between now and then. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Thanks again to the Joes, as always, for giving me this platform, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, radio, wherever. It's JoeBucksFan.com, and I am honored and privileged to be a part of it. I will talk to you for the next one. Be safe, have fun, have a great weekend, and wherever you are in the meantime, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. Stay.